Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app. Up on TSN 4, Brian Hazio, Dr. Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. Our buddy Sam Mitchell will join us here just a moment. The Raptors back in action. They're in Houston tonight. And a big story in the sports world today is Kyrie Irving wants out of Brooklyn. And this is the amazing thing about the NBA. Is there's always something, right? Every couple of weeks, there's some crazy story. It's a soap opera.
It's not a little one. It's not a little one.
It's never
a tiny player, and it's massive news, and it's not, I was unhappy with my playing time last night. Mm-hmm. It's, I want out.
I want out. Exactly. He's a little bit disgruntled. No, he's ripping the Band-Aid off. Yes. He wants to leave. He's demanding out. Like, it's legitimate breaking news. Right, breaking news can get thrown out. It's pretty liberal these days. When the NBA has breaking news, it's usually worthy of that title. And this is the amazing thing about, I think, players in the NBA, the utilization of social media. LeBron James just tweeted out 5 minutes ago, eye emoji and a crown emoji. And everyone's just assuming what that means is,
I'm the king.
Well, I don't think so. I think it's a Kyrie
King
Irving.
James.
I think it's more possibly the crown is like Kyrie's the prince. You know, like there were some people that were, that's how they were labeled. Like,
oh,
Braun's
really?
The king, Kyrie's the prince. But who knows? It's two emojis. Yet adults like myself are wondering, what does that mean? What is a 38-year-old trying to tell me on Twitter about Kyrie Irving? But I think the assumption is like LeBron, who's basically the GM out there anyway, probably going to say, how do we make this work? Who can I throw out? Who can leave the Lakers so Kyrie can join me?
Westbrook and two firsts?
Well, who wants Russell Westbrook? That's the problem. You know, like if you're Brooklyn. Brooklyn's
LeBron
fourth in the East.
Hayes. I thought you said Kyrie tweeted that.
Oh, if I did, that was a mistake. I thought I said LeBron.
No,
that's who
LeBron.
I meant. Yeah, LeBron. LeBron
that means he's
that
going out. To L.A. then. Like, come on.
It could, or LeBron is certainly trying to let the Lakers know he wants them to come to L.A. I'm not sure, but it's the power of LeBron. It's the power of emojis in 2023. A couple of emojis get posted. That's breaking
news.
Crazy,
though. Like, I mean, what would you give up to get him, or are they just ready to give him away for nothing?
Well, the money's got to match, so it's got to be Russ probably going the other way. And then the Lakers have picks, you know, in 27, 29. But again, Brooklyn's fourth in the East. They have Kevin Durant on their team. They don't want scrubs. They don't want picks in 5 years.
They don't want Westbrook. And
they don't. Why would you want Westbrook? Exactly.
And that brings up the question, what is KD going to say about this? Like, what is he going to do? Say, get rid of me too? Like, come on. It's insane.
Well, that's probably the next step, right? Like, if Kyrie leaves and Kevin Durant's looking around, and he's got Ben Simmons as the only guy he can really rely on.
But dude, he's already tried it, Hayes. He tried it. He already said, get me out of here, and they couldn't do it. They couldn't pull the trigger on a trade for Kevin Durant.
We'll see if that comes back up. I wouldn't be surprised. Anything's possible. You're right. I mean, it may be more difficult. They may have to take less. I don't know. But it's just it's typical of Kyrie Irving. He's not getting his way with a contract negotiation, so he goes public that he wants out. You know, demands out, and obviously it's coming from Kyrie's camp, you know, that he's demanded out. Every insider's got it within 5 minutes of each other. It's just a mass email chain. Like, you know, like probably Lewenberg's on there. Just CC everyone you know. Kyrie wants out. Let everyone know he's demanded. And again, what it means for the trade deadline, I guess we'll find out. But it adds a spicy element to it because the Raptors have been at the forefront of everything, right? It's been what's going to happen with OG, what's going to happen with Van Vliet, might they flip Siakam? And now it'll be the Kyrie Irving show for the next 6 days, for sure. But the Siakam All-Star Game stuff is interesting because I think it's just a nature of he's on a bad team, you know, and as good as he is, he's not a superstar, right? It's not a LeBron, Durant, Curry, you know, household name around the NBA. So he gets hit with that, and then he gets hit with being on a bad team. But it's not that he's in Canada or something stupid like that. Like, Siakam's been an All-Star before. Fred was there last year. Lowry went all the time. DeMar's been there. Kawhi was there his year up here. It isn't like a Canadian bias. It's a bad team bias.
But it's amazing. The hockey guys don't even want to go to the All-Star game and could care less if there was some kind of snub, we'll call it.
Right.
And it seems like NBA players are so offended and distraught when this happens, where one sport is like, please don't invite me. Mm-hmm. Like, please. And another sport, everyone is up in arms.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly. Like, Pascal, I think, is legitimately upset. And to chat about it, we're joined now by the former coach of the year, longtime NBAer himself, or TSN NBA analyst, and our good buddy Sam Mitchell joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Would you define the Siakam?
I would listen to you guys.
What's that? Go ahead.
And Pascal should be hurt.
Okay.
Second, you guys get hit in the head too much. Y'all missing the big point. Y'all should want to be all-stars. You know why you want to go to the game? It raises your profile. Two, NBA contracts now are tied to those type of things. When you make all-star teams, when you make first, second, third team all-NBA, that's leverage when you go in that room to negotiate your contract. It means something. It means something to be an all-star. Second, and this is the most important thing, this is what should hurt Pascal and all the guys. The coaches pick the reserves. See, I don't get too caught up in the fans because there's no one with a straight face can tell me that Joel Embiid should not be a starter in the All-Star game. That's a joke. But that's the fans. But when you factor in the coaches, because coaches, and I would say they do the same thing that I did, because you want coaches to take this serious, because you have players, and you want your guys to have a chance to be an All-Star. But when you sit down and you think about not only the numbers, but the impact when it comes to winning, and that's what coaches think about, can this guy beat me? It would hurt my feelings, and it would motivate me more. And if I'm Nick Nurse, if I'm one of these coaches who have players that feel like they've been snubbed, and I feel like my player has been snubbed, I would use it as fuel to motivate that player and my team to go on a torrid stretch toward the end to try to get myself back in the playoff race, because the coaches have told you what they thought about you. And it should sting. All right, it should bother you because these are the people that you're competing against.
Sam, you should have Googled me by now, and you'll know that I did go to an All-Star game, and I've never had a concussion.
I know
what?
You care.
Yeah,
but
I cared about
care
it.
But more because it would have gave you more leverage when you went in there to negotiate your contract. It matters. And
it didn't matter squat to my
owners.
Contract.
It does.
It didn't matter squat to my contract. You make the All-Star team, you might get some kind of bonus in your own personal contract, but the next time you go and you negotiate it, the GM doesn't give a rat's ass about it.
Well, you know what, Dan? Hey, man, you guys just had bad luck. You were in the wrong sport. Because in
That's
my
right.
sport and every sport I ever played, being labeled an All-Star, it mattered. It mattered in the mind of those general managers in basketball, and it mattered in the mind of those owners.
Yeah, well, exactly. The way the CBA works, you know, that's been a big conversation up here, Sam, as I'm sure you're aware of, you know, with where the Raptors are at. You know, the guy who would be most disappointed with where they are, how they're playing, and the idea of them possibly, you know, tanking is Siakam, because he wants a supermax contract. And in order to qualify for that, he's got to be all NBA. But this is probably a precursor to that if you're not getting into the All-Star game, how does he end up on one of the NBA all NBA teams?
Well, think about this. If you're Masai and you got to decide whether to pay him this contract, and if you decide to do it, don't it make you feel a lot better to know this guy's an all-star that you're paying this contract to rather than just, quote-unquote, a very good player? I mean, it's the perception of it. When you have to sign a guy to that type of contract, look, man, I don't care who it is. Unless it's LeBron James in his prime or Patrick Mahomes in the NFL, hey, man, you think about that. That's a lot of money. That's a huge financial commitment. But it also makes you sleep a little bit better if everyone thinks, especially the peers, that he's an all-star.
Sam, what are you doing with the rest of it? What are you doing if you're running the operation here? Pascal's one
man,
thing.
Man, it's tough. Oof. Because I feel like you got talent. You're not that far away. When you look at the East and West, you're not that far away from being a really good team. It's just something missing. The problem is, what is it? And I'm not there on a day-to-day basis. I mean, Masai and Nick, those guys could tell you more. I've always thought like they need a little bit more size. I just feel that way to be an upper echelon team because the NBA is starting to trend back to size. But it's something that they're missing. Maybe it's their style of play. Maybe it's something. But they have talent. But you got to ask yourself, do you blow the thing up or do you try to find that missing piece now, especially that Kyrie Irving may be in play?
Yeah, the Kyrie stuff, man.
That's insane.
You got to think about it. You have to. He's a game changer.
You're talking the Raptors should be in on that? Is that what you're suggesting?
I'm thinking whoever, if you're one of those teams that feel like you are a piece away, think of it like this. Depending on what you would have to give up, if you put Kyrie Irving on the Raptors team with Pascal, OG, I don't know who you would have to give up and what you would have to give up. But if you put him on a team with the right group, wouldn't you feel very comfortable that you at least, you know for sure you're a top 16 in the East and maybe a top 14.
He wouldn't want to come here, yeah, Sam. He wouldn't be happy.
Hey, man, the man just requested a trade. So at that point, you're going to be happy with whoever wants you. That's how it works.
I don't think we're dealing That's with fair. The standard like, procedure with this guy, Sam.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? Sorry to interrupt. Like, that was my question for you, Sam. Like, have you ever dealt with somebody so talented like Kyrie, but there just seems to be, and I'm trying to be respectful about it. I don't know if there's an attitude adjustment. I'm not sure if there's a, you know, does he want to play? You know, he's had a lot of, there's been a lot of noise around him. Would you want to bring that to you, an organization? I guess that would be my question for you.
If I have the right guys on my team and the right management team, yes. Because at the end of the day, let me tell you something. Ask Phil Jackson how much crap he put up with the players from Chicago and the Lakers, with Shaq, Kobe, not to talk ill of the dead, Kobe Bryant, one of my favorite people. Ask him how much crap he put up with to win. But he put up with it to win. As other coaches, you've been around, how much crap you put up with to lose. So ask yourself, you're going to put up with a bunch of crap anyway. You might as well put up with it from the standpoint of knowing that every night you go out there, you got a chance to win, and then win big come playoff time.
We're chatting with Sam Mitchell again. Big news in the NBA today. Kyrie Irving has asked for a trade. I don't know if it's a demand or an ask, but paint us a picture, Sam. It's the day after the trade deadline. He's still in Brooklyn. What happens with Kyrie the rest of the way, and what is Kevin Durant thinking right now?
Well, this is the thing. For all the people that think, in my estimation, I don't think Kyrie has as much leverage as you think. Because of his past transgressions, if Brooklyn say no, we're not going to trade you. We didn't get the offer we want. We want you to play this season out, right, and be a pro. He has no excuse. He's got to. Because of everything that has happened in the past, if he wants to say, no, I'm not going to play, I want to go home, no, that would kill any chance of anyone investing any kind of long-term contract in Kyrie going forward. To me, he has to play it out, play hard, help them win, help take them as far as they can. The further he takes them or help take them, the better it's going to be. And if he stays and plays with the right attitude and continues to act and play the way he's done thus far, since all this stuff behind him, then no matter how far they go, he would demand a big contract with some years on it in the open market. But if he says, because you're not going to extend me and not trade me, I don't want to play, to me, that would be a kiss of death. I don't think he could do that. And anyone to advise him to do anything different, I would argue with them that they're giving him the wrong advice.
Everyone's got an opinion on Kevin Durant and his career. No one can dispute his talents. I mean, the guy's one of the most talented players ever. But going to Golden State, leaving Golden State, now in Brooklyn, teaming up with Kyrie, we see how it's worked out so far and how it continues to work out. Where's your head at with the legacy of Durant and how much is left in the tank on that?
Man, first of all, I still think he's one of the top 10 players in the league. That goes without a doubt. I think he's going to go down. When you talk about the history, he's definitely in that small top 20, top 25 in the history. If not, even on a shorter list. So that's the minute. I just think I have sympathy for Kevin Durant because Kevin Durant, people want to fault him because he's not this boisterous leader. Everybody's not built like that. Why do people try to make people to be something that they're not? But let me tell you what he is. He's been a great player. He doesn't get in trouble on and off the court. He plays hard every night. He plays hurt. He shows up. He wins championship. He has conducted himself on and off the court like he should, like a total professional. So the fact that he's not this outwardly leader, people get on him for that, but that's just not who he is. I feel bad for him because all he really wants to do is play basketball and be a good teammate and try to win. So I feel bad for him because he's – now, you can say he brought it on himself because of the choices he made, yeah, but it's still he went into these choices that he made thinking he was making good choices, not bad ones.
Sam.
He didn't do this saying, you know what, I know this is stupid, I'm going to do it anyway. No, he didn't do that. He really thought he was making the right decisions.
Sam, what I'm going to bring to your attention is just like rumbling slash rumors, but what do you make of kind of griping about Nick Nurse, some guys unhappy with him, and, you know, when they're winning, obviously everything's good with the coach, and he's running some guys.
Oh, dog, you know that.
Yeah.
Plus, you got guys playing for contracts, too. And in today's NBA with the money, man, you're talking about legacy money. I can't even let my mind wrap around. Look, guys, I was scratching and clawing to make $1 million a year.
You got legacy money, Sam.
Right? And I thought when I got there, I had made it. These guys are looking at hundreds of millions of dollars. You're talking about not only change your life, but your kids and their kids' life. So you got to factor in all that. It's a different dimension, man. And you got – how many guys? You got Gary Trent Jr. You got –
Fred can opt out. Yep.
Hey, man, you got guys, and then you got Pascal a year out thinking about, I mean, you're talking about life-changing money, the type of contract he can get. So, of course, it's different, man. It is tougher to coach in today's NBA because of the money, and then because of the money, people want results. So, it doesn't surprise me that guys are griping, but it comes with the territory, man. And Nick been around. He's got his big boy pants on. He can deal with it. That's part of it.
We're chatting with Sam Mitchell. I was thinking of you last night, Sam, because I saw Kyle Lowry's stat line in the first half, his last two games. Both games, 0 points, zero rebounds, zero assists. I was waiting for Spoelstra to come out and say, I got guys
man,
here at
I
zero.
Need, I need to coin that and put that on some T-shirts.
Yes.
Or some brochures or something.
That's your best work,
man.
How much
money I would have made if I would have coined that by now.
It's your best work. You've had some great ones over the years. There's nothing better. What building was that in? That was on the road. Where were you? Do you remember?
I can't even remember, man, but I can't even think. I can't believe I let myself go there, but that tells you how frustrating, man, coaching could be at times.
Yeah, I mean, and listen, I think Kyle's probably going to the Hall of Fame. He's a great player. The Miami's winning again. They're into the top six, but he's getting up there in age. I mean, how much do you read into it? What does he have left in the tank for the Heat?
Yeah, I was Miami, man. I can see them starting to cut his minutes to save his legs for the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Because, look, the thing about Miami, man, I keep wanting to write them off. But you can't write them off because of that coach, man. Eric Spoelstra can flat out coach. And if you look at their talent, I don't think they have near – I think it's the top five teams in the East clearly has more talent in my mind than Miami. To me, Bam would never be his best until he's at the power forward because he'll be able to dominate from that position, but he dominates at the center position. All that being said, do you want to play Miami if they're rested and healthy come playoff time with that coach and the way they play with that culture? No. I think if I was them, man, I would start to rest Kyle to get him ready for the playoffs because that's when he's going to have a chance to be at his best. The tough thing for them right now, they're trying to stay out of that play-in, and they may have to play him just for that fact that they can't slip any further. They don't have a cushion.
What's your handicap right now, player?
Man, it's terrible. The weather in Atlanta been so bad, man. I haven't seen my golf club. I took my golf clubs out. I used to keep them in the trunk of my car, but I've taken my golf clubs out and I put them in the garage in another storage room inside my garage where it's nice, warm, and cozy, because it's been cold and raining here. I haven't looked at my clubs in 4 weeks.
Uh-oh. Well,
that's how bad the weather's been. I was just talking to that to Charles Barkley about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking about that the other night.
Is he still? I heard his game's coming around, Sam. Like his
is good, man. I played with him about a month ago, and you know what? We were playing a twosome partners, and they beat us.
Ooh.
Yeah, wow. They beat us.
So Barkley beat you. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, I can. You know, I didn't play well. It was a new course, and I probably played the worst round. I probably shot like 80. And I had not shot 80 in like 7-8 months. So I played terrible. It was a course I had not played that he was familiar with. A lot of blind shots, which is hard for me to play. So he got me that day.
Well, you got to give him credit, man.
What the hell did he shoot, Sam? You're telling me he shot in the 70s?
He shot like 75.
He shot 75. Well. So you weren't giving a stroke?
No way. No way.
Guys,
I can't
I'm
see
telling
it.
You. The one thing that Charles could always do, even when he lost his swing, he could always chip and putt. His short game is immaculate. Now that his long game, I'm telling you, he's hitting the ball straight off the tee again, and he's hitting it long. Like, he was out driving me on some holes, which made me kind of look at him side-eye, because I hit the ball, I can get it out there. And Chuck was hitting it past me a few times. I was like, okay,
wow.
He got his game back.
That's breaking news. Forget Kyrie, that man. Like, exactly. That's breaking.
Sam, whenever we have a guest on, whenever we have a guest,
he's a much nicer human being now that he can play golf again.
All right.
I can't believe one of our headlines on our Twitter account is Barkley has his game back.
Yes, he does.
Yep, that's breaking news, awesome. Man. That's what we're here for.
Oh, yeah.
Well, listen, Sam, we always appreciate
you. You guys have
time.
Too much fun, man.
Yep, you got to have fun. That's what it's all about. It's freezing up here. I'm sure that's not a surprise to you, man, but it is cold up here right now. So enjoy it down there, and we'll do it again soon. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you, guys.
There he is, Sam Mitchell, one of our favorites. Coach of the year, longtime NBA, TSN NBA analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota and check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory arriving daily. It's time to Toyota. Visit MapleToyota.com. Imagine playing a course and seeing Barkley and Sam Mitchell out there just slashing it around. And
No. Jeez. Can you imagine waiting on a tee and seeing Barkley rip one 300 down the middle? You'd be like... Oof.
I had heard he got rid of the funky swing, man. It was a swing thought issue, right? Like it was a mental block. He had the yips. He couldn't do it. Because wasn't the story that he hit someone at a pro-am, and that
got into his grill, and he couldn't get out of it.
Right, and
like Tom Kite type of thing.
Yeah,
worse.
Like someone was lined up, and Charles, like it was like a duck hook, kind of what we saw at St. G's, like around and around. And
around downtown and then back home?
Yes. Boomerang style.
You witnessed that. I mean,
yeah.
We're not going to
talk
about it.
We saw a boomerang that you don't see too often. But, hey, listen, man, Barkley, he's back. Forget Kyrie. Forget the All-Star snubs. That's a story right there. Sam saying he shot 80 and he's pissed. That means Sam can play.
Yeah.
Sam can play. Anyway, always great to catch up with Sam Mitchell. And we got a big show still to come because we got Chris Johnston coming up from Florida. CJ's doing his thing down there. I bet he's still running. We haven't brought this up with CJ in a long time.
Every day.
Every single day for like 3 years now. Literally
not
every day.
Not a chance he's kept that up. Not a chance.
I think he has.
Want to bet 20 that he hasn't kept it up?
Yeah, I'll say he does. And he has.
But it's got to be every day or no bet.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
I bet you he's done it. Like, unless he, like, if he had COVID or something, then that breaks it up, right?
Well, no, it's got to be every single day.
For the purpose of the bet, it's every single day, but I would think, Noodles, that would take him out. Also, weather like this, he's not up here. He's down in Florida, so he's running in Florida, I'm sure. But right. You can't run outside in this type of, like, you got to be a hero
to
do this.
You got to have a treadmill at your house. That's the thing.
That doesn't count, though, I don't think. Does that count, O? Treadmill, or does it have to be outside running?
No, it's got to be running. He apparently said he was jogging every day. For, what is it, 4 years or something?
It's like 600 days in a row or 650. I believe that was a couple of years. But for me, like you run on your treadmill, that's going for a run.
Yeah, it doesn't count, though.
No,
I don't think that's
count.
What the nature of what we're talking about. Like, I think CJ's out, you know, like trying to experience. Yeah, exactly. He's trying to be a hero. Yeah, he is. Melon right. Friday is brought to you by Boston Pizza, Canada's favorite sports bar. From touchdowns to tie bites and puck drops to pizza, BP's elite lineup of apps, wings, and ice-cold beer is always dialed in for game time. Hustle into your local BP tonight. So CJ just after 6. Dear Hazy B, in about an hour, Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. Mailin' in Fridays is brought to you by Boston Pizza, Canada's favorite sports bar. From touchdowns to tie bites and puck drops to pizza, BP's elite lineup of apps, wings, and ice-cold beer is always dialed in for game time. Hustle into your local BP tonight. All right, Dear Hazy B in an hour. Chris Johnston in about a half an hour. The whole hockey media down there in South Florida for the All-Star weekend.
Yeah.
And we saw our friend Julie Stewart-Biggs. You see her little scoop? She had a chat with Gretzky, I guess, down there. And she tweeted out that she was asking him about McDavid. I guess they were talking about McDavid and the greatness of McDavid. And we just had the TSN Top 25 list come out. And that was based on, you know, the past 50 games in the NHL. Who's basically, if the season ended today, how would we rank the top 25 players?
Right.
McDavid was unanimously number one. He was unanimously number one coming into the season, predicting how we saw it play out. And Julie asked him, you know, who do you think has a chance at maybe catching him? And Gretzky said, paraphrasing, but Jack Hughes is the only guy he sees catching 97.
Wow.
Which, like, that is high praise, man. Jack Hughes, this kid has arrived. Like,
he's a player. Yeah,
he's a player, man. He's fun to watch. He's got swag. He's put New Jersey on the map. He's a first overall pick that has hit, like, big time for them. Mm-hmm. But that, to me, I think is a – like, who am I to say Wayne Sorry, I disagree, you know.
Well,
but
it's a bit rich.
I don't think anyone's catching McDavid. I don't think it's going to be Hughes. But
that was a hit for the cronies, too. The cronies, they got that one. They said, this guy's trending. He's coming. He's arriving next year. And the cronies were right on that one.
Well,
yeah, they were.
And here's the best part about it. He makes $8 million on term,
mm-hmm.
like, for years. Like, he signed a massive deal, but it's $8 million a year. Like, you know, this is and I know there were people that were balking. I believe on our show we talked about it. Like, that was, boy, Jack Hughes, $8 million a year. Like, you know, it'll be interesting to see. Like, he's going to blow past that. The other guy that I – and this is a little bit more closer to home with me, but, like, that Tim Stützle looks like he's going to earn his money, you know, earn that long-term deal. He's a really good player, and I think he's going to be, you know, superstar status. But this Jack Hughes is a player.
It's like risky noodles. It's like, I want to take my chance with eight as opposed to him really ripping it up and me having to give him 10.
Right. It's fair.
Well, you know what happened with those examples where they signed the year before they got to free agency, right? So they locked in long-term deals with only a couple of years of data, couple of years of sample size.
Right.
And, you know, that's, you look at other teams, including the one here, they didn't do that with any of them. Like, Matthews, Marner, Nylander all got past their date, except for Matthews. He signed year of. But that's, you know, in retrospect, and it's easy to play this game, but the summer before, give Mitch 8 years at $8 million. And guess what? He's making eight now instead of 10.9. But that didn't happen. And who knows if Mitch would have accepted that? Who knows if Nylander would have, Matthews?
Was it not offered?
There have been reports.
There was some, why in hindsight go back? Like, you know, at the end of the day, what happened here is different than what happened in different organizations. But it's also a good lesson for people. I mean, wasn't that long ago that we were going, geez, that, you know, who's Samuelson in Buffalo? And, you know, listen, if he'd make it $4 million a year on a 7-year deal, he's 22 years old, he's probably going to blow past that when he comes into his own at the National Hockey League level. But sometimes, and you just pointed it out, Brian, this is a big risk, because what if the guy goes the other way and you're like, okay, we're locked on term. You know, Ottawa had one, Colin White. You know, Colin White was a 6-year term at 4.5, and they
had to buy him out, didn't they?
Bought him out, right? Yeah, they bought him out, and he's in Florida. So, you know, it is a risk. But you better be sure, you know, because that's a boatload of money, right?
It's a lot of money. It's a big commitment. It does seem easier. It should be easier to commit to the first overall pick or the third overall, like Stützle, right? Like, if you're If you get a guy who shows up and he has a good couple of years and it was you weren't expecting it, you know, I think you'd be more weary of that. But if you're a team drafting Jack Hughes, if you're drafting Tim Stützle, like, you know, Connor Bedard will be the next one. When Bedard gets through 2 years, whoever has drafted him, whoever he's playing with, you got to think they're immediately trying to get an 8-year deal on the table.
Oh, for
right?
sure.
Like, can we get you on 8 years? Because that's a big part of it, too, is trying to lock up a guy for the fullest amount of term. You know, it's
yeah.
And that Edmonton's in a great spot. They got both Draisaitl and McDavid to commit to 8. They didn't have to. They didn't have to at all. Especially right. McDavid. McDavid could have taken a 1-year deal. Could have done whatever he wanted.
It's give and take, man. Like, when you're a player and it's like the team wants to give you an 8-year deal at 12 and a half, you're like, that's
a lot of money.
$100 million.
It's like, how the hell could I ever say no to that? And you sign it.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and it's one of those things that sounds goofy because it's so much money. It's good for both parties.
It's great for both parties. And here's the other thing. I'll go a step further. Jonathan Huberdeau hadn't played a minute for the Calgary Flames, signs a massive deal at 10.5. You go the other way, he can ask for a trade. Like, you're allowed, like, this is what we were talking about in the previous hour. Like, you know, Kyrie Irving's, I want out. Like, mm-hmm. the NBA, it happens all the time. Doesn't happen so much in the National Hockey League, but even if a guy's on term, like Jonathan Huberdeau, if it doesn't work out in Calgary, they'll be able to move.
Who would be hot to trot to pick up that money, though?
Well, I mean, a guy who was a 100-point guy, he didn't have a great start, but, I mean, he's a hell of a player. Like, and
I know he's a hell of a player, but this just hasn't been his year. And when you have that type of year, people start wondering, and there's that type of dollar attached to it, do I want to jump on that train and be stuck with it 2 or 3 years from now? If this continues, you look like a dummy.
Right, but it also could be just an off year, and you're like, okay, this guy's back to 105 points.
Noodles, do you agree? It's a roll of the dice. It's like, if you ever did roll the dice on that, you either look like a genius or a dumbass.
Well, if you're taking it on, though, like if you're Calgary, you have to expect likely money's coming back, right? Like you've almost got to, in today's cap world, you got to balance some money out, you know?
Right.
We played a game earlier this year, the old, would the Oilers renege on the Jack Campbell contract when Campbell was a disaster? What about in Calgary? Do you think they'd take that one back off the table if they could? Trey Living had a do-over, said you don't have to give Huberdeau that eight-year deal at 10.5.
The only reason I wouldn't is because if you look at, there's a sample size there with him. Like, this is a down year. So you expect him to go back to the previous 7 years of what he's been doing. You know, for me, I wouldn't. And, you know, in Edmonton, they've been patient. They rode it through. Campbell's won 7 in a row now.
Yeah, exactly. Like, now their tandem's working out.
Now their tandem looks like the kind of what they envision. Both guys are playing decent. So I just, it's a good lesson, kind of what we were talking about even, I think, yesterday or 2 days ago with Pooley. Is, we shouldn't overreact with the Leafs losing to Boston the other night. And you have a guy that doesn't play well for 3 months. You don't go, that's that guy's career.
I agree. That's why they wouldn't do it. You know, and I said the same thing about the Campbell situation. If at some point you committed to the guy, you believed in him, 10 or 15 games in, you're not going to change course on that. And I think the same thing applies with Huberdeau. Like, they believed in him. Let's call it as it is. They would prefer Tkachuk. They wanted to keep Tkachuk, right?
Well,
they wanted to keep
Boudreau. That situation.
They were forced into that situation, and they ended up getting a very good player in response. And as a result, they said, okay, we'll commit to it. But it's not like they were, you know, it was a free agency play. It was a trade that had to happen, and then they decided, all right, we want to keep this guy. You know, we want to keep the train moving.
Yeah.
So they may have a little bit of a different view on Huberdeau than, you know, the Campbell situation was just pure free agency, where they wanted him, they brought him in. But to your point, his game is balanced out, right? And Skinner's been really good. Like, I don't know who starts game one in Edmonton. I would think as of today, it's probably Skinner, right? But could that change in the next 30 games?
Well, we'll see.
Possibly.
I mean, you want, knock on wood, you want health for everybody. So and then
yeah, that could change. Like yeah, they could switch to Jack Campbell, but
well, and you get to a point where if somebody's rolling down the stretch, you know, outside of we've said it a million times, outside of Vasilevsky, Hellebuck, Saros, you know, Shesterkin, Sorokin, you know, there's what, 8 guys in the league that you go, that guy's playing no matter what. Mm-hmm. Everyone else is like, hey, who's playing well this last month? Who do you trust more? Who do you think who has a better record against that team? Like, I think it's more of that tandem situation, and you're starting to see it. Like, I look at this LA team. Like LA, I think LA is a really good team, but they're missing stability in net, and you keep hearing rumblings like, oh, it was LA in on potentially Demko if he's available from Vancouver. Are you looking at John Gibson from down the road? Because it's Phoenix Copley who's playing a net for them
rightly. Yeah, like, you know? Quick is, I mean, he's injured all the time, seems
well,
like.
And he hasn't played well this year as well. And, right. You know, he's 36 at 37 right now. So, you know, he's not your 60-game guy anymore. So, you know, there's a few teams I think would be sniffing on goaltenders.
I could see that being the case. And that division is it's a difficult division to get a read on because, you know, Seattle's been very good. Vegas started great, but they have really faded. They're holding on for dear life, really.
Yeah.
And the Alberta teams are lurking. So, yeah, there's going to be movement out there between now and the deadline for sure, and jockeying for position between now and the end of the season. Dear Hazy V coming up in about 45 minutes. Chris Johnston will join us just after 6 o'clock. So we'll get his take on the buzz down there. Who was it yesterday? Was it Johnny that mentioned the Leon Draisaitl comment that he's not happy with his first half?
Yeah. Yeah, he said
I thought about that more afterwards. Like, what a heroic comment. We're talking about running in minus 30,
I don't
brother.
Think it's – we'll get into it after, but I don't think it's heroic at all.
Dude, he's second in the league in points.
So what? He has expectations that are through the roof.
Well, and I think there's context
dominate.
To it. I think there's context to it. I'll tell you my view on the context when we get into it, and oh, you can weigh in.
All right, let's come back. You guys try to convince me that this isn't heroic, all right? It's not just a hero down in South Beach. Nah, not ecstatic with second
exactly.
in the league in points. Not good enough for me.
Yeah.
Leon Draisaitl. All right, you guys try to convince me. We'll do that next. All right, so Leon Draisaitl has 76 points at the All-Star break. 76, he's second in the league. He's 10th in the league in goals with 29. What a season. What a season.
Yeah.
Not according to Leon himself. Now, again, context, I don't know exactly the body language. This is second person. You know, we're hearing this through Mike Johnson. Johnny was saying that he said he wasn't, you know, he thinks he can be better. He wants to be better. He wasn't happy with his play in the first half. So you guys take the podium here, a fake podium, because we can't get a real one.
I think the second part of the statement you just made is Johnny misspeaking. Because I believe the kid would say, I can be better. But the idea of I'm not happy with my play, that's borderline ludicrous.
That's heroic. It's heroic.
That would be heroic if he said, I'm just not happy with what I've done thus far. Because it's just not true. It's just not true.
Well,
but he's used to being, and I believe he thinks he can be, and he wants headlines. He wants to be the story, like dominant, goal scoring, just heart leader, everyone talking about him in the heart. And those are the expectations that he has on himself. But to say that I'm not happy with what's gone on thus far, I think it's just I can be better. That's the part.
Yeah, and here's where I'm going to go, and this is where the did you guys call them the cronies? This is where Jonas and the cronies will
the
dig
cronies,
in, right?
Yeah.
Johnny's a crony.
Yeah, Johnny's a crony. So I think that's what he was talking about, and Johnny kind of alluded to it, is his 5-on-5 play. So if you want to dig into his, like, Corsi relative, all of that, like, it's actually...
Corsi relative.
I'm not lying. I'm looking at it right now, and I actually dug it. But his 5-on-5
numbers are not great.
Jamie,
what does
it even
mean? What the hell does Corsi relative
basically
even mean?
Basically, he's on for more shots against than he's giving. Like, more chances like that. So the point being, his his numbers at 5-on-5 aren't as high as we've seen in the past. Mm-hmm. So that's his 5-on-5 game has struggled a little bit. I think that's where he's talking about. And believe me, I've watched, you know, almost, well, I think I've watched every Edmonton game, every Calgary game, obviously every Leaf and every Ottawa game this year. There are times where Draisaitl, as you know, extends his shifts too long, gets caught in his own zone, circles instead of stopping on pucks. Like, his game can be completely dominant. You guys know what I think of him. I think he is the most unique superstar there because he likes contact. He invites contact because he's a big horse. But there's times where his game has certainly struggled in his own zone, and that's where I think some of the numbers people will suggest 5-on-5, he hasn't played to his potential. That's okay. All I'm saying.
All right, well, that's listen, maybe, saying. And that might be what he's detailing.
Right.
But it's just the setting of being
tough.
At the All-Star game, second in points. You know, your team's on fire recently. And, you know, it's, I guess, you know, it's an example of how, you know, in the hockey community, the hockey culture, like you can't pump your own tires, you know. Like,
right.
Like it's just the equivalent in any other sport of the Draisaitl. It's like, yeah, I'm playing great, having a great year, second in points. I got 29 snipes. We're in
Never
the playoffs. Feel good. But instead, it's got to be, I could be better. My Corsi relative, like, gee, like, come on.
I know.
Corsi relative.
It's ridiculous.
Listen, guys,
but that's a legitimate stat. I'm joking.
I'm not trying to be.
No,
I'm not
it's a legitimate stat. But it's what I'm saying is, we've had this conversation this week. Where are the games at? Gary at 30 years. You know, and again, I'm not trying to read too much into the comments here. I'm not making a mountain out of a molehill, but it's, you know, McDavid's very subdued. Draisaitl's subdued. Matthews is subdued. Like, the superstars of the game, like, show up and say, I'm the man, you know? And that's what Draisaitl is. And he's earned that reputation. Guy's been one of the three or four best players in the league consistently for 5 years.
Yeah. No matter how the game has changed and it's different, and we talk about how different the guys are, the game is, no one's ever going to come out in that sport and say, I'm the man. Brad Marchand might do it. If he has a heater week, he'd be like, he might say, I'm the best player in the league right now. Other than him, I don't know who would say that.
Well, maybe
that's amazing. Isn't that, like, you're right. McDavid wouldn't say it. If you went up to McDavid, backed him into a corner, and said, who's the best player in the league? He'd hum and haw and say...
Yeah, he'd say, oh, maybe Ovi right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, Ovi's playing great.
No, you know what he would say? I think you got to still tip your cap to Sid.
Yeah, he would go with Sid. He'd tip his cap to Sid. That's what he'd do.
Well, but do you dislike that about a guy being humble, or do you want a guy to go, well, I'm the best, and, you know, do you want a guy like LeBron?
How about honesty? Honest.
Okay.
I don't need the guy who's the 15th best player to claim he's the best, because that's ridiculous.
Right.
But the unanimous, unquestioned best is the best. And he knows it, right? Like, McDavid knows he's the best. Right?
Yeah. No,
Am I wrong
agree.
In that? I think he knows it. Again, it's not him saying everyone convene. You know, I'm throwing a Scott Boras presser, and I want everyone to come down and hear me say I'm the best.
He knows he's the best.
But he knows he's the best, and if he were asked the question, I don't think people would be like, wow, that's not a team guy. Can't have that in a room.
Wow.
Like, who in Edmonton would dispute that? Nobody.
Nobody. Not at all.
Nobody.
But, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, it just, do you want him to talk about it, or do you just want him to do it? He just doesn't have that personality, unfortunately.
No, I understand that. I understand that, and I don't think – it doesn't seem like anybody. But that's what I'm saying, I guess, Noodles.
Yeah.
Someone has that personality. Someone. Not everyone can have the exact same personality.
Right.
But it's not
– it's not comfortable, no matter how good you are at any sport, to say, I'm the best in the game, and it's not even close.
Right.
Like,
again,
that's an awkward thing to throw out of
you. I'm not even asking for that.
What athlete does that, though? LeBron probably does. LeBron has these Instagram posts where he's talking to himself, his younger self, his you know, LeBron growing up. Like,
oh, yeah.
That's,
those
you know,
were great. Those. Here's a letter to my – here, little Bronny, he was like, yeah, I want to tell you, like, you're going to be awesome. It was outrageous.
Yeah, him writing to his 15-year-old self or whatever, 18-year-old
tweeting
self.
To himself.
Yeah, that was strange.
Exactly.
That one I still Insane. Can't really wrap my head around.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm sure there are examples of players at respective positions that would say they're, you know, they're the best. You're the best you know, whatever, lineman. You're the best tight end. You're the best guard. You're the best center. You're the best whatever it happens to be. But, yeah. Listen, I'm not saying I'm not asking for McDavid to call a presser to announce to the world that he's the best. Mm-hmm. I'm saying if the question was posed, say, yes, I am the best. That's fine. See, so moving on. What else do you have? That's all I'd ask
wasn't
for.
Wasn't it OG that was like, yeah, I'm the best defensive player in the league, and people are like, nah, you're one of them.
He's up there.
Not. Yeah, he's not.
He's up there, Ananobi. He may not be the defined. He's not defined in the same capacity McDavid is defined as the best.
Yeah, but it just makes, to me, it doesn't. It's not a good look when you're like, yeah, I'm the best. Well, you can say it, but you're not.
If you're like, not, it can be more difficult.
I'll tell you what I'm going to be the best at, guys. I have found a new sport that we're going to try on Monday in the hallways of TSN.
Oh yeah.
I'm going to give you a glimpse of it, and who do you think will be a superstar between us three, Arad and JP?
Okay. Okay, that we'll get to that announcement in the next hour. Chris Johnston coming up. Dear Hazy B and a new sport. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.